Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP, Bengals Beat podcast, presented by 50 West Brewery, Paul Weiner Jr. and Jim Osarski. We're here, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer. We're here for you.
Yeah.
Because you need us.
Do they?
I don't know. I think everybody could use a hug today.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's just a lot of people that they just need to be held. An extra 15 seconds on the embrace.
Yeah.
Because everybody's daubers are a little down today. There's just a lot of people that are reeling and in a glass case of emotion.
Yeah. It was just a sad day.
It really was.
Then it turned angry.
It turned angry.
Yeah.
It turned real angry, and we're going to get to that. There's a lot to react to from the Ravens beating the Bengals 20-0 in the opener. And, I mean, they say this a lot, but, I mean, I think it applies. It wasn't really that close.
No.
This was just a beatdown in every way, shape, and form. And the Bengals were completely outclassed and lost and bad. And we're going to get to a lot from that. So we're going to get to a number of things. I got to kind of run down what's coming.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot to touch on. And we're going to be getting – I don't want people to bail. Yeah. Like, wait, they're not even talking about what I want to hear about.
Right.
We probably are. And I can't predict tangents, but for right now – We're going to open up talking about the change in outlook of the season after one game, which we don't really talk about. And we're not overreaction people, although I've been accused of being a real reactionary. we're not really. We tend to try to be pretty down the line. You know, I think this is one time where you can talk about a change in outlook. So we're going to get into how that's changed things, some conversations we had. We're going to touch on the offensive line there, of course. We are going to talk about the running back rotation. We are going to talk about the tone of the fan base right now.
Yeah.
Which has kind of become a storyline a little bit.
Yep.
As it bubbles, we are going to talk about Andy Dalton, obviously. We're going to talk about a few players that played well. And God knows what else we're going to get into. But those are kind of some of the highlights. So let's open up this way. I'll just throw it to you. Did Sunday change your outlook on the season?
No.
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 8-8.
8-8. Been on the 8-8 train since January. If anything, it reinforced it. I see 10-win talent still, but the whole basis for me, Paul, for 8-8 was what? I don't know if they can score, and I don't know if this defense can prevent teams from going on 15-play drives like we've seen through the preseason.
Yep.
So what do we see? No scoring. And 12 play drive, 18 play drive. Other, I mean, yeah, sure, they got off the field and did some good things, but when it mattered, yet again, 48-yard touchdown on third down.
Yep.
Guy running free. What did we see for 9 games last year? Same deal. Oh, we played well enough to win. I tweeted it. They played well enough to win. Technically, yes, I thought they did. But, again, when it matters, guys are grasping at air. Because, you know, missed assignments or poor technique or whatever. What, couldn't get off the field. Now, granted, I thought this was a game they should win in my 8-8 prediction because, Ravens are garbage. Joe Flacco's garbage, and their offense sucked, and that's but that they scored apparent. Enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know where they get that 8th win back.
Could be Thursday.
Could be Thursday because I picked I only picked an L for Thursday just because it's Houston.
Yeah.
But, I mean, your Jags just laid it to them. And we don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to play in his first start. And they gave up 10 sacks. And you know what I mean? So, I predicted a 1-1 start, and it could be 1-1 reversed. So, yeah. No. I think it doesn't change my outlook yet because I saw a lot of the reasons I picked them to go 8-8.
Yeah. Yes to all that, but also yes to I think it does change the outlook. I think that we knew that they would have issues, that we knew. We've talked about how bad this offensive line could be all year. We have to death, to the point that we couldn't even talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that being the only thing that really mattered throughout the entire preseason. And it was encouraging, but it was the preseason.
Right.
We had to see it for real. And they came out, and they were everything you hoped they wouldn't be.
That's true.
And everything that you hoped that a year of working out with Jay Glazer and of, you know, learning the position and being comfortable and healthy preseason.
Yeah.
All of that was this team being right back where it started. Where Cedric Oboy, he's letting guys go around the outside for strip sacks. I mean, last we saw Cedric Oboy, he was giving up 2 sacks. He
to came Jadeveon Clowney.
To Jadeveon Clowney. Today, he was giving up sacks to Terrell Suggs.
Yeah.
One time when he didn't even, Suggs didn't even make a move.
No.
He just went in. You know, and you saw.
Old man pass rush.
That's all it was.
Hashtag old man pass rush.
Old man. He's going to be 35 in a month.
Yeah.
And he was out there just toying.
Yeah.
Toying with Cedric Oboy.
Yeah, Jake Fisher had a bad day too.
And Jake Fisher did not have a great day. And Trey Hopkins, who you have hope for, but he was in his first start. Oh, by the way, hurt his knee.
Yeah. And he wasn't really that great prior to.
No. TJ Johnson came in. He was the only highlight.
Yeah.
He wasn't awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, compared to everybody else.
Right.
I mean, Russell Bodine would. You had one series where Russell Bodine got put on skates by Brandon Williams right back into Dalton's chest to force a throwaway. And then you had a sack and a hold. And it was just.
Yeah.
And then you get tipped balls. You know why you get a lot of tipped balls? Because guys are backing up in Andy Dalton's face.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton was uncomfortable. This was everything you hoped it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
And the thought of 8-8 is, well, I mean, they gotta get a little better, right? At some point, and maybe they will. But between that and just the disaster that ensued, I don't know how you come out of it and be like, yeah, I see 8 wins out there. I think they'll figure it out. There's some bad clubs in their schedule, but they look like a real bad club.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like a team lost. And those, you learn so much on the first game of the season.
Yeah.
You learn a lot. And I felt like we learned a lot where you walked away saying, oh, man, they're not very good.
Yeah, there was a lot of, I can't disagree with you either. I mean, it's just, I guess for me, you know, I don't think – the quarterback has another day like this, or if he does, it's not strung together. His recent history proves that. But again, recent history also didn't have these problems in front of him either. So
recent history had
two solutions in front of them.
Yeah.
They were wearing 77 and 68 previously. Yeah. And, you know, that's going to be part of, I mean, five sacks.
Yeah.
Is, and now they gave up seven in the opener last year.
Right.
A game they won. But they gave up seven. But before that, they hadn't given up five sacks in the game since, you'd have to go all the way back to 2014.
Yeah. Which is honestly the last time Andy had days like this.
Right.
Was 12, 13, 14.
Right. We hear all the time about how bad he is under pressure.
Yeah.
There's something to that. It's not, yeah, it's not false. I mean, any quarterback is. But the problem I had with Dalton, say, yesterday was so many of his errors were unforced, not under pressure. Whether you're talking about the red zone pick and,
yeah,
trying to fit one into Brandon LaFell or throwing a ball off of Terrell Suggs' face, or, I mean, a lot of that stuff was not on the run.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if that'll continue, but certainly that's part of an issue there that's got to get worked out. To me, that's the concern. To me, that's the concern is where.
Yeah, and it's not going to.
Where's it going to get better? I mean, well, why is there to believe it's going to get better?
Well, I think you just got to make do Thursday.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a new starter at right guard. I mean, Marvin Lewis gave the. By the time we're recording this, no roster move, no news on Trey Hopkins, just a we'll see. But look, when you're carted off, he wasn't carted off the field. When you leave the field and are immediately ruled out with a knee injury that was non-contact, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
On a short week, odds are he doesn't play. So now you've got your second starter at right guard. We don't know who that is. It's easy to say TJ Johnson.
I would assume TJ.
But
Johnson.
This team carried Alex Redmond, Christian Westerman onto the 53. Those guys are traditional guards. TJ's your backup center. Westerman, Redmond were down on Sunday. So, I mean, regardless. I mean, TJ Johnson had one start at guard, and that was at left guard last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's patchwork. I think any changes, Paul, or changes meaning an evaluation or reevaluation would come going into week three in Green Bay when you've got 10 days.
You know what I like?
What do you like?
I like.
Is this what makes Paul happy early?
It could be. You know what?
Let's hit
I
that
would
early.
Say these things do make me happy is finding very distinct trends in recent history.
Yes. They do make you happy.
That they do. I love doing little mini dives into recent trends. And this one just stuck out at me. I call it sort of the, like, oh, my God, are we bad stat. Because so many teams say this in the opener every year when they watch their team say, uh-oh, are we bad? And it happens when you get your butt kicked in week one, right?
Yeah.
So I looked it up as teams that lost by at least 20 points in the opener and scored less 10 or less. So just completely inept and get your butt kicked.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens. In the last 10 years, it's happened 13 times. No, it happened four times on Sunday. Four games were decided like that, including the Houston Texans, who come to town on Thursday. So kind of a wash on Thursday.
Yeah.
However, 13 times, only once did a team get past 8-8. That was the Steelers in 2011, and they got their butts kicked at Baltimore by a Baltimore team that ended up winning the division despite the Steelers ended up going 12-4. Carolina went 8-8 in 2009 after opening the season, losing 38-10 to Philly. Outside of that, nobody even made it to 500. That is all but two. Two of 13 teams didn't even have a winning record. Seven of the 13 won four games or less.
Yeah.
You are a coin flip. When you play like this, recent history shows, you're a coin flip from being 4-12, 3-13. There's a 1-15er in there. There's a 2-14er in there.
And what's not encouraging is the team you lost to
is not great.
No. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Joe Flacco, I don't think, threw a ball more than 12 yards in the air.
He couldn't. I don't think he could.
No. And there's a problem. And they were, even though Terrence West was not good, their O-line was not good.
They committed 11 penalties.
They still, yeah. Kamina still managed to string together all those drives. You only force one turnover. I mean, that's part of the problem, too. I mean, you're not looking at a team where you're like, wow, they could beat the Patriots in Foxborough in 3 months.
No. So they have a really good defense.
Maybe.
That's all they're hanging their hat on right now.
Right.
They probably have a pretty really good defense. Yeah. I think they do. But that's really it. And that's where their concern comes.
Yeah.
This wasn't at New England. Go back to 2010 opener when Bengals got the doors blown off, and they did have a terrible season that year. But you're like, oh, it's New England, right? These things happen when teams go to Boston. This was at home. This was your big opener.
Yeah, first time since 2009.
Oh, I mean, you know, 50th season, and, you know, you're being hopeful, optimism, and boom, you lay a massive egg. Massive egg.
Yeah.
And here you are. And here you are now facing Houston with a whole lot on the line. Because if you lose to Houston, now you're going to Lambeau 0-2.
Yeah.
Good luck. 0-3. Good night, Irene. Yeah. That's the season.
Oh, you know what that could mean?
What?
Early mock drafts for Paul.
Dude. That's already happened. People are already firing that question to me. 2018 mock draft. I got to start watching college football.
Yeah, there you go. One of the things that makes Paul happy, the tight end from Akron.
Oh, man. Please don't let this be like that. But anyway, so I do think in a way that the season outlook changes a little, has to change a little bit. If I was 8-8, what we saw and what the hole that they're digging themselves out of as far as their foundation they started with, maybe we see a completely different team on Thursday. Maybe if they sneak out a win, and then Burfict comes back in week 4, maybe he reinvigorates you. I don't know. Then maybe you feel better. I just, somewhere between 4 and 7 wins feels a little more realistic.
Run the ball.
Run the ball, yeah, right?
In the words of our pal Butchie, run the ball.
Run the ball, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the only way. I don't know if they were – I'll keep moving. I want to bring in a little conversation after the game with Drake Kirkpatrick, who's told everybody to relax, like Aaron Rodgers said. And some other things. But so here's a conversation after the game with cornerback Drake Kirkpatrick.
How much is there kind of a shock as that game unraveled? I mean, we're not used to seeing games like that around here, like hardly ever. I mean, is there almost a shock value to you on that?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I feel like definitely a lot of adjustment we need to make as a team, not offensive, defensively, as a whole unit, special team included. I just feel like they did a great job of tempoing the game. They was coming out waiting for us to line up, and when we line up in certain things, they were checking out of certain things. And I feel like the play that they got the long run for the touchdown, that was a great call by them. That was a great play by them. And for the first time since I've been in the league, it's my 6th year, it's my first time seeing them actually approach a game like that, play the game like that. I've never seen it. So good job by them. You know?
You guys caught the drift about halfway through the Flacco. I don't know if he could throw longer than 15 yards out there. You guys could kind of, I don't know if you guys.
Yeah, I feel like the guys on the outside, Quiz, Will Jackson, I feel like we did a great job of competing today. I feel like we went up, challenged those guys the whole game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I still feel like, you know, it was a couple calls I feel like could have been questionable. Mm-hmm. But it's not our job to dictate and, you know, worry about what the refs are doing. It's our job to worry about what we can control.
I mean, bad games happen. You know, it's the NFL. It happens. But when it happens in an opener, do you wonder, was your optimism misfounded?
It's like Aaron Rodgers said, you know, I don't want everybody to get too crazy right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first game. We got a lot of guys off the team, a lot of guys that we feed and build upon through the game off of because they bring a lot of energy. So I feel like we're going to be all right. That team is – they are not better than us. They just play better than us today.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah. Obviously you're frustrated, but, I mean, there's got to be a – how do you shake off disappointment? I guess short week you don't really have much time to worry about it, but, I mean, it just seems like it's a –
at the end of the day, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, maybe last game, somewhere towards the end of the season, we'll play those guys again. That's over with. The only thing we can do, come in tomorrow, if we even watch the film. But I feel like we may watch a glimpse of some of the things that we can correct. And, man, that's all we can do is control what we control.
I mean, you know, turnovers are just killer. I mean, how tough was it being? I mean, you guys were barely backed up in short fields a lot today. I mean, that's kind of the game changer, right?
Yeah, one thing I'll say about today, you know, nobody really got down.
Yeah.
You know, guys still was competing, still fighting. It just, the one our day, things were still happening. You know, and they was going out there making their plays. But at the end of the day, I didn't see people get down. I didn't see a lot of, you know, pointing fingers on the sideline or anything like that. I feel like we still rallied together, but today just won our day.
Thursday a big deal for you guys now after this?
It's a major deal. Yeah. Every game is a major deal. It don't get no bigger every week.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if just because we lost this game and look at the next game, we got to play it harder. You know, I feel like you're selling yourself short. I went out there today and gave him my 110%, which I feel like everybody should do every game.
All right, there's Dre trying to keep in a positive mode a little bit. But there was a lot. I mean, there was a decent amount of stunned in the locker room. I mean, George, I look and I said, I asked him about shock. He said, I'm not shocked. You come out, you don't show up in this league, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And I think that was the attitude a lot of guys had was, you know, you don't show up like this, it can end quickly, and you turn the ball over that many times.
Yeah, five turnovers. Yeah, you turn it over five times, you don't win.
Yeah,
there's no. I mean, it's simple as that. It's
Dalton's got to play better.
Yeah,
that's no secret. We're not breaking news there. Let's just give a twinge of positivity.
Sure,
because we need to. Well, first of all, we need to talk about our Jolly Plumbing, jack of all trades, player of the game.
Yeah,
good to have Jolly Plumbing with us.
Yeah,
but so every week we're gonna give three nominees for our jack of all trades, player of the game. It's kind of a guy puts in the old honest hard day's work, doesn't ask for any accolades.
May or may not be a coach's son.
Could be sneaky fast too.
Yeah.
So our three. You can go to the Jolly Plumbing website. You listen here every Monday. We'll give you our three nominees. I think for me, three guys this week are TJ Johnson, Nick Vigil, and Giovanni Bernard. I think TJ came in a spot out of nowhere, and it could have been worse.
Yeah. Because, honestly, Paul, he's your backup center.
Right.
His reps are coming with A.J. McCarron and maybe with Andy occasionally just to make sure they got some timing.
He came in there and held down enough.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it was he kind of did that last year too when given a shot. I think there's a decent amount of trust in him as a backup type, although he may need to be more than that for a while.
Yeah.
Vigil played pretty much every snap.
Yeah.
Had a pick on a tip ball, and you know, I think he did all right.
Yeah, for basically, you know, we mentioned Will Jackson III and Andrew Billings, you know, second-year guys making their true NFL debuts. Obviously, Nick played last year, but this was his first start. This was his first time being really like a guy, like the guy. So yeah, you know, I think that's a good person to consider.
Yeah, but I think it has to be Gio.
Yeah,
I mean,
of the three, yes.
Of the three, you talk about jack of all trades. Had the longest play of the day rushing, had the longest play of the day receiving, and, you know, was out there pretty much every third down as the rotation ended up working. And we all forget about how unbelievable it was that this dude tore his ACL not too long ago and how great his recovery was. He looked like the most explosive weapon on offense out there.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, his that little sort to get the longest run. That sort of that whoop-de-doop on whoever that linebacker was.
Yeah, that guy's name. That guy's name.
He was juked so bad, I forgot it.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I think Gio made a similar type of jump cut or cut on the screen. I mean, it was he did. He looked exactly like a dude. Now we've been saying it because he made it first day at camp, so it's easy to forget, right? But he only played the one preseason game in that little bit in Washington.
Yeah. Well, he looked real healthy and real good out there. So
I think that's a good person.
Yeah, absolutely. We give it to him, and you know, that's certainly encouraging.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit one-on-one with Gio after the game, so I do want to bring in some of that because I thought he was interesting on a number of topics. So here's Giovanni Bernard.
from Washington, but I imagine, just generally speaking, felt good.
Yeah.
Out there, it's, I mean, you know, last time we saw you on the field, it was not this.
Yeah, it felt really good to be out there. It felt really good just to be with my teammates out on the field in front of, you know, our crowd, and something that, you know, I was looking forward to for a very long time, and to be able to do it and obviously be able to play it the way that I wanted to play. Just worked out well, but obviously, you know, the result really isn't it. But, you know, it's a good feeling to come back from an injury.
Right. You and Jeremy have done your thing together for so long now. We now finally, regular season, got to see how a third guy get worked in. How did you feel about just the pacing of the game? And I know chasing late affected that too, but at least early, when it was kind of still in plan, how did that kind of feel?
It felt good. I think it kept us all fresh in a way. Mm-hmm. Whenever our number was called, we were in there, and we were just ready to go. But obviously, you know, we had to play catch up very early, and it was just tough to kind of do anything from that point.
How have you seen in your career together with Andy? How have you seen him handle days like
he
today?
Does I mean, good. He's you know, it's as bad as to say, you know, he's just he just knows how to handle it. He doesn't talk about it. It's just kind of something that he, you know, deals with himself, and however he does that, that's not something that's easy that anybody, you know, can just go through. I mean, something like that, man. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And he comes back even stronger and ready to go, and just focused. So,
Unfortunately, I know, you know, at that position, it kind of gets hung on you a little bit, even if balls are bad in the air or whatever. You know, it's just,
I have no idea how he does it, man. It's truly amazing the way he does things, and just how he carries himself. It's kind of been like that all since I've always been here, and it's just. He just knows how to handle it, man. And I know it's kind of bad to say, you know, he's gone through something like this before or something, but he's always bounced back. And, you know, I have faith in my quarterback, and he's, you know, he's our guy. And
appreciate you, man.
Yeah, definitely, rough.
Yeah, good to see you out there.
Yeah, man.
So, of course, leading up to the season, fantasy guy wanted to know, what's the running back rotation going to be like? How many touches?
Right.
What's going to and you know, we sort of said, I think I heard you say 10 touches about a million times in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For Joe Mixon, because everyone's always asking Joe
Mixon.
What
did he end up with?
11.
Okay.
You were wrong. You were wrong. But so the way it ended up working out was, it was pretty much a rotation of three different players. Each taking a drive in order.
Yeah.
Jeremy Hill the first drive, Joe Mixon the second drive, Giovanni Bernard the third drive, and that would continue, except on third down and longs, Gio would come in as your third down back.
Yeah.
And what that ended up with, Jeremy Hill only played 10 plays. Now, a lot of that goes back to where the game got a little out of hand, and they were having to play a different type of game.
Yes.
So they went away from that, and then you got a little more of Geo because of that.
Right.
Because they were in a lot of, you know,
three
wides and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then late, garbage time, you only have three running backs. Well, Joe Mixon's your garbage time guy.
He went out there and had some garbage runs.
Yeah.
You know, Jeremy was okay. He averaged 4.3 a carry.
Yeah, Bengals Twitter didn't like that.
No, they don't like him being okay and Joe Mixon having 8 carries for 9 yards.
Yeah.
Because Joe Mixon is the future, and Jeremy Hill needs to go somewhere else.
Right. So, yeah, prior to the last two carries where he lost 9 yards, Joe was 3.0 yards per carry, had one good run.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy had 2 good runs, and then some other stuff in there. And then, you know, I think Joe, at least on the little dump off, showed his ability in space, which we saw in the preseason.
I would expect that rotation to continue for now until we see significant differentials between anybody. They seemed comfortable with it, as you kind of heard there.
Yeah.
They seem to be okay with doing that, and I think the team is okay feeling like they're getting a little bit of everybody and then can do that, what we talked about last week, then go with the hot hand if they feel like there is one. If they feel like something is working, they can go with it. And I think that'll be something we'll see in the, you know, second half, fourth quarter of games. It'll turn into, all right, this guy's got it going, let's roll.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. Third downs for Gio. Jeremy came out maybe a little early, maybe a player or two early, because it looked like he got that ankle kind of rolled up on his last good run. I mean, he says he's fine. He said after the game he's fine. He said today he was fine. But again, you're right. I think the pace of the game, and you're right. I think it'll be hot hand, and one each guy gets a shot. And then Gio really, Paul, came in because there was the interception. There's a three and out, so he kind of got some run. Really early, it was like six plays each. It's kind of the way it went, even though it was over a couple possessions. So you're right. I think this is, unless there's a major injury, I think this is what we'll see.
Yep. Can you tell us a little bit about ZipRecruiter? Because we know the people need jobs.
They do need jobs.
And
maybe all these people working. Maybe they went to ZipRecruiter. Maybe they had 20,000 or whatever. It didn't show up.
10K.
10K, whatever. Didn't show up. Paul Brown Stadium for the home opener.
They got jobs.
They did. Because ZipRecruiter, you know, if you're hiring and you need people, you know where you can post your job. Find those best candidates. ZipRecruiter.com.
ZipRecruiter.
Paul, it's a challenge to find great talent. And you have to find great talent to have a successful business. So with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus sites in just one click. Most powerful tech efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. No juggling emails, no calls to the office. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, our listeners to this Bengals Beat podcast, post your job to ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, Paul, free.
Free.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beat. So one more time, try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/beat.
Beat. All right. Thanks, ZipRecruiter. Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned the 10,000. The attendance was 55,000 and some change.
Yeah.
And, you know, the capacity of Paul Brown Stadium is 65,000. And this isn't going to turn into some, why didn't fans come to the game rant? That's not what this is about. This is about, there was a lot of time, effort, energy, marketing, put into the opening week,
right?
The 50th season, the first home opener. They wanted a home opener. It'd been too long. They're having this 50th season. It was a big deal to open at home,
right?
A lot was put into this, and it was paid off to the point that they were only able to draw 55,000 and have 10,000. Empty seats. They have not had a home opener with that few people since 2011, when they had which was the worst season ticket crisis pretty much in their history.
Yeah,
coming off the 2010 debacle and all that stuff. And then that happens, game happens, and it turns into vitriol. Fans booed. They're allowed to boo.
Yeah,
no one's telling anybody not to boo.
Yep,
that's not what this is about. But there was a lot of, it was anger.
Yeah.
Very, very angry. More so, and we're used to anger here.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about how, you know, at the preseason, that Saturday, the preseason poll that said the Bengals had the most pessimistic fans in the NFL that day.
Yeah.
That was an unscientific type of poll taken on one day. Right. But it's a snapshot of this. And then you have a fan, as Andy Dalton, after his awful day, is going off the field, takes a towel and throws it at him as he's running through the tunnel.
It's weak.
It's real weak. Boo, be angry.
Yeah.
Yell, you suck.
Yep.
Yell, you should be traded. Yell, go somewhere else. Do what you want. You're throwing things at people now? You're throwing things at your quarterback?
Yeah, it was bad enough when they were tossing stuff at Roethlisberger getting carted off. Playoff game.
Right. That was ugly.
Yeah, it was.
And this is your guy after the opener.
Yeah.
And you're throwing something? I mean, it's one drunk idiot does not define an entire fan base. But this is sort of an extension of what we've seen. You know, and Twitter is an angry, hateful place.
Yeah.
I mean, the angriest and hateful, most hateful cesspool It tends to be. It brings out that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a really ugly place of Bengals fans. And you combine all those things together, and it gets to my point. It's not about any of that stuff necessarily, is that the Bengals have themselves a pretty significant PR problem here.
Yeah.
Disconnect with their fan base here. And that can be a vitriol that can really spiral if this season does as well. And even if it doesn't. Because I just feel like an angry fan base was just lit up like a powder keg on Sunday. And it's just in a really, really bad place between team and city all of a sudden.
Yeah, which is weird, Paul, because for once, the team, like, bent to the public outcry.
Yeah.
We're honoring former players. We're going to dress up the stadium with new stuff. We're going to put a new patch on the jersey and change that up a little bit. We're going to you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to put stuff all around the state, all around the city to put the band. You know what I mean? So it was just kind of – and then of all things, Paul, you got the big old you'd live in Cincinnati banner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't live in Cleveland. And then stuff is getting thrown on the field. Yeah. I was like, look, yeah, one dude, one towel. Well, you can say that, but look, all it takes is one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To me, Andy probably got away with the fact that there was like nobody left at that point. Because, you know, other people are like, yeah, and then they throw that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So... hey, maybe it's a good thing Sam Weish is coming back because you can take the mic at halftime.
Yeah,
hey, Sam, do it again.
We do it again. People are throwing things again.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It's like, hey, I could take it. We're all big boys. Andy and look, they get it.
Yeah.
You can boo all they want. Andy booed himself basically on this podium right behind me.
Yep.
He took it.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to because he definitely, look, I've been around some quarterbacks and some players who have just like, toss some dudes under the bus.
Yeah.
And Andy took it. And, you know, but look, that is weak. I will say that. I don't tell people how to feel. I don't tell people how to boo. We talked about me hate watching games last week. Do that. But throwing stuff is like,
come on.
It's weak.
It's real weak. So then, and this isn't about us, but this is just sort of an extension of this topic.
Yes.
Around 7:30 or so, it turned into blame the media guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's our fault.
Yeah.
We don't hold the coach accountable. You know, look.
Paul Downer Jr.
I mean, there was
enough.
Honestly, you know, there was not enough venom that we could spit to appease the masses. Yeah. And that's not our job to spit venom. That's Paul Daugherty's job.
Yeah.
He's the columnist. The columnist has the hot takes. We do have analysis.
Yeah.
Things that we can write. And, you know, you go read it. And you tell me, Paul Downer Jr. did. I mean, but it was.
Yeah.
You have to say those things. It was just honest truth. It wasn't venom.
Those are numbers.
It was being truthful to what it was, that this was the worst case scenario.
But you didn't type it in all caps.
I didn't. But then there's this thought that you need to just be roasting them over and over, day in and day out. And it's just, I mean, I know you were in that in conversations with people trying to explain sort of how this works.
Yeah.
And you want to see how it works. I mean, Marvin Lewis is not going to get into that.
No.
He's not going to take the bait. The dude's been around here too long.
Yeah.
If you're trying to get into, what do you want? You want fights with a reporter? Is that what this is about? Because there seems to be that's what people want. People want us to fight with him.
Yeah.
Why'd you let Whitworth go? Right. Well, yeah, we asked those questions.
Back in March.
We talked about it. We discussed it ad nauseum.
Right.
We have spent an entire offseason talking about how this offensive line was screwed.
Right.
We don't need to keep bringing that up right now.
Right.
We know that. That's clear.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like, I honestly, Paul, at least people wanted us to ask in the immediate post game, why weren't you fired? Why are you sitting here? Yeah. Why didn't you fire your offensive coordinator immediately? I think those were the two main ones.
Yeah, that's what...
And that's just not, like, first of all, it's not realistic. That's not, you know, someone was like, why don't you ask Marvin about his job security? It's like, because he has it, and that hasn't changed.
Right.
Like, we addressed those things in January, February, March, April, May,
again,
and
before
then
the
June
season started,
when
yeah.
he wasn't given a contract extension, and then in July when Mike Brown addressed that. So that doesn't change after one game. And look... Yeah, if this team is 1-6, Marvin's going to get those questions just like he did at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's going to get those questions. Well, Mike doesn't really talk in season anymore, but, you know, the Bengals haven't made a change at head coach since Dave Shula.
In season. Yeah.
First of all, people, okay. We couldn't think of the last coordinator that was let go in season.
Right.
The last head coach to not finish the season quit on his own, and Bruce Coslett. And Bruce just told us, if you want to go back to the 50th best of BBP, we addressed this also when he said, well, I regret it, and there were some health issues, and the team was bad, and you know he kind of addressed all those things. Marvin's not quitting two games into the season, four games into the season. Ken isn't doing that either. So, but there's some nuance to this, Paul. That's the thing. It's like, you know, Marvin... We asked Marvin about specific players or plays in a game, and he says, I can't talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it until I see the film. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, we see him every day. We can ask these questions, but you don't you don't just do it. Like, I think once someone was like, you don't attack him for the constant failures. And I was like, that's not what we do.
Right. Attack. It's not what it is. And maybe some people want it to be that.
Yeah.
And I understand wanting to feel like your questions are being asked. You know, feeling like, but are there answers that you don't, do you feel like you're going to find out something that you didn't know? If someone is attacking or asking these questions, tell us your constant failures. Why are you failing at all of these things?
Right.
What are you going to learn? Are you going to learn something from that you didn't know? Because right. this is our perspective. We're trying to find things out. We're trying to learn things.
Right.
Something new that we don't already know.
Right.
That he's going to say nothing if you ask him about constant. Marvin's been around here. We've talked to Marvin. We have relationships with Marvin. We know what buttons you can push and be successful and what buttons you can't push and be successful.
Right.
And attack mode is not successful. It's never been successful here. It won't all of a sudden start being successful
right.
in the aftermath of 20-0.
Right.
That's part of where it comes from. And so I understand people wanting to feel like, you know, accountability and whatever. That's being had, but you got to understand how to get it.
And also, because we are here every day, you go that way. Let's say you want to shoot that shot. You're going to go ham YOLO in the press conference after a game.
Yeah.
Guess who's not talking to you or getting a single thing for you for the next 16-plus weeks?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, how come X, Y, and Z isn't being written and reported, and no one says. You know why? Because you shot your shot, and you got swatted into the ninth row, and no one talks to you ever again.
Yes, no one talks to you ever again, and now of all the stories that you see us writing about in BX,
right,
or in any of the behind-the-scenes stuff that we're able to get deep reporting on and really find stuff, or break news as you have
right.
many times. We're not saying all this is coming from Marvin. We're using this as an
example. Right.
Because that would flood the entire coaching staff. Everyone would know. You're infected.
Yeah.
And if you, what do you want? Do you want to be able to swing your lasso in the air and say, look at me.
Right.
Look what I did, everybody, and beat your chest? Or do you want to actually be able to report and write and have in-depth stories and breaking news?
Right. And here's the thing, too, where people say, you don't ask that because you're afraid. You're afraid of what Marvin's going to say. No. Because we know what Marvin's going to say. Nobody's afraid of Marvin.
No.
Nobody's afraid of a coach or Mike Brown. Mike Brown isn't yanking our credentials. Marvin isn't yanking our – we'll be here.
Yeah.
But, and it's not afraid of losing access. It's – we're doing our job.
Yeah.
That's not, it's not a fear factor because, look, this was a bad team. I covered a – I almost swore. I covered a 15-win NBA team. That's 15 dudes in a little tiny locker room. Like, I've been around this.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around garbage. I've been around bad dudes, bad athletes, bad attitudes. It's about doing the job and yeah, we can ask a hard question. Marvin can get mad. Marvin's been mad at us. Marvin has chosen not to answer any of my questions
yes.
for like 3 days at various points in the
last
2 years.
Marvin backhands me at least once every other press conference.
So, I mean, so that's the thing. It's not a fear factor. It's like we want to do our job and convey good stories and good reporting and explain why things are happening. And look, here's the thing. Tuesday, people firing on us. You never asked about the fourth down punt in the fourth quarter. And no, we didn't ask that in the post game because in the context of a 20-0 loss, in the 5-minute window we get post game with Marvin, that singular decision did not affect the game.
It was a footnote.
So we did not address it. Paul wrote about it afterwards. And then, look, people screamed. And look, even Marvin heard it. He addressed it on his own.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, and he said, look, it was a 50-50 decision. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, in terms of the fan base. He's like, look, it was a play, percentage play, and he's like, I think I won the percentage. We got three more possessions.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just there's a nuance to it. There's a reason we ask things the way we do.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times – I mean, when it's a important play to winning and losing the game, we have asked it every
yes.
time, every single yeah. time, and it's often gotten a very negative response.
Yes.
And that's fine.
Right.
When it's a relative play that's important to what really happened in deciding the game, yes. Something like that, a footnote like that, we revisit the next day.
Right.
You don't do it in the
– Yeah. Marvin addressed all 5 turnovers.
Yeah. Right.
And the 48-yard touchdown that was given up.
Yes.
So I believe –
all of those asked and answered.
Yes.
So it's – look – I understand frustration from fans and anger from fans in wanting to feel like they have someone with the torch fighting for them. But you got to understand that in order for us to better do our job completely, there's a whole lot more to it than the 5 minutes you hear with a press conference on ESPN 1530.
Right.
In fact, everything pretty much is done outside of that time.
Yeah.
And keep that in mind before you listen and say, those guys suck.
You know what, Paul Downer Jr.?
What's that?
It's your fault Jeremy Hill ran for 4.3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
And it's your fault that Joe Mixon was utilized more.
Yes. My lack of arm talent. My lack of arm talent as an armchair quarterback. Anyway, we love our listeners.
Oh yeah,
and this is what we love our listeners and our followers, and I don't have a problem with people that want to have these conversations. I know you don't.
Oh.
You enjoy it.
Yeah,
we want you guys to understand what we're trying to do.
Yeah,
and that your questions are being answered, and we're having those answers for you in our work, in our reporting.
We just don't
on a regular basis.
People.
It's just not going to be an attack.
Because like, we're not fans, so we're not that.
Yeah, it's not going to be venomous.
Right.
It's going to be adult discussion.
Right. God forbid. I'm not throwing anything at anybody.
No. No. All right. Hey, all right, let's move on. Didn't your wife use Blue Apron?
She did.
Yes.
Blue Apron's awesome.
Michelle loved it.
She did. I like it. It's the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country.
Woo.
That's why we like it.
How about that?
Its mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They achieve this by supporting a sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. And why? It's got a great impact on the community by establishing partnerships with 150 local farms, fisheries, ranchers across the country. As a result, the seafood sourced sustainably under standards developed and watched by the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce sourced from farms that produce regenerative farming, which we love regenerative farming.
Gotta have it.
Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for recipe, they are reducing food waste.
That's what
that
I
makes
like.
Me mad. Food waste makes me mad, Paul.
Food waste makes I just love that it just shows up, and there it is. You take the ingredients, throw them together, boom. No work, no fuss, no muss. Boom, you're done. That's what I like about it.
You cook together, build strong family bonds.
Yeah, family bonds.
Research shows that blue apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. A lot of restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 a person for a delicious meal. And upcoming meals. Get it. Summer vegetable and egg paninis with Calabrian chili mayonnaise and caprese salad. See, Michelle likes the soy glazed pork and rice cakes. Bok choy and marinated green beans. Skillet vegetable chili, cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits. Also upcoming, the garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. Get it.
All right. Let me tell you, if you check out this week's menu, you will get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/guesswhat.
Beat.
B-E-A-T. You'll love how good it feels and tastes. So you create an incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. So don't wait. blueapron.com/beat. It's Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right. I got to tell you, I feel like this was the defining moment of what I was worried about what Optimistic Bobby's response was going to be.
Yeah.
If there's anybody, I mentioned this here in the call, but my favorite tweet of the weekend was someone tweeted at me, hashtag RIP Optimistic Bobby ? People were scared. How could you still be optimistic? And then I reached out to Bobby, and he said the moment the game ended, he was ready for this. He said this is his opportunity. So it's time for Optimistic Bobby. In the face of everlasting pessimism, here's Optimistic Bobby with our 50 West owner Bobby Slattery with his question of the week.
All right, welcome to a much-anticipated question from Optimistic Bobby, because after what happened this weekend, I got to say the most entertaining tweet that I received all weekend was one tweet that just said, hashtag RIP Optimistic Bobby ? Really, a Bengals nation turns its eyes to you, Optimistic Bobby. You're alive. That's good. I think you've never been needed more.
This is what I live for, Paul. I've never been more excited for immediately following that game. I was like, I can't wait for Paul to call me tomorrow and talk to you. Plus, I'm suddenly relevant on Twitter all of a sudden. I've never used Twitter from a personal level before, but as you can see, I immediately changed my new Twitter name, went from just my generic Bobby Slattery to Optimistic Bobby. So you can now follow me on Twitter. This is very exciting.
Yeah, it is. You can find him on Twitter, Optimistic Bobby. Not only that, I had people reaching out saying, hey, I just met Optimistic Bobby in Madeira, and I'm telling you, are you going to be okay with all of this fame, especially after your big moment today where you unite an entire nation of Bengals fans?
You know, I think the biggest thing I gained out of this, unlike the people sitting around my seats on Sunday, there's a lot of believers out there in Cincinnati that have been pulling me aside. Madeira, you know, one of the things that I haven't brought up yet, but I was at the Madeira bonfire on, Saturday night, and someone reminded me, hey, Tez is back, game four. There's no reason to be down. Tez is back, game four.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. You do have that to look forward to. Hopefully they're not 0-3. At that point, I'll give you this before the question. One chance. What is your message? What is your message to angry, sad, lonely, pessimistic Bengals fans out there? How do you pick them up off the mat?
The message has not changed. This season is not over until loss number 9. So unless they change the rules in football, and the first game of the season counted as 9 games, that's only 1 loss. The season continues. You need to keep the hope.
What are we going to do after the 9th loss? I don't know what we're going to talk about. Like, I'm going to have to hold
Well, then we start at that point, you start focusing on individual players, improvement, opportunities for next year, potential draft picks. We can start watching more college football. But there were a lot of positives in yesterday's game that I think were overlooked.
Okay.
Just to touch on a few of them, I want to talk about a couple of these things real quick.
Okay.
Will Jackson looked fantastic. I think the pass interference was garbage. The burgers in section 140, if you've not had a cheeseburger from that section, 50 West has amazing cheeseburgers, but there is something happening at that burger stand. If you want to try the best burger in the city, go to section 140 burgers. They're incredible.
Who knew?
Dalton's leadership, the play wasn't great, but you could tell being at the game, probably one of the best I've seen from him. He was very enthusiastic first down signal when they ripped his helmet off, and he was also the first person in there coming through. I think a lot of people have to understand that this is a different team with John Ross. John Ross, we have not seen the team with John Ross. Maybe they were more built. They were planning more game planning around him. Pat gets back this week. There's so many positive things. We don't need to get down.
We're just going to focus. All the positives were that there were some players that didn't play yesterday that maybe will be better. That's where we're at.
Limited injuries. We didn't really have too many major injuries.
Not too many major injuries. This is true. All right. That was very optimistic. I got to say that you really are shining with so much pressure on you. I got to give you credit. All right. So what's your question for us? What do you have for us today?
Well, despite the fact that everyone is trying to just ruin Andy Dalton, my friends and I like to joke around. We actually call him Red Diamond because we feel like, diamonds are made from pressure, and he's ready to respond from the pressure.
Yeah.
So anyways, I want to know is nighttime Andy going to be the nighttime Andy that I always knew he could be this Thursday? Is he going to come out there and just respond the way he always responds to adversity and leads us to victory on Thursday versus the Texans?
You're trying to bring out the primetime game narrative. I don't know how positive your response is going to be to that, but this is really a chance for a defining moment for Mr. Dalton. That's for sure. All right, Bobby, that was, I gotta say, very, very well done. Inspirational. Hey, Sunday, you guys still are going to have the Sunday ticket. There will be no Bengals game. You still got all the other games going on.
You can come, if you want to come down on Sunday and watch the when the Bengals are now 1-1, and watch some of our other opponents coming up. Great place to come down to 50 West. Our burgers, they are fantastic. I will say the burgers in section 1 around 140, they're on par with those.
Yeah.
But the new menu's been really well received. We had a great crowd out there on Sunday. So come down to 50 West at our production life force facility, and do not forget to follow me on Optimistic Bobby on Twitter, Bobby Slattery. Can't believe this is happening.
Hey, don't let the fame go straight to your head, okay?
I know. It's a big moment.
Focus,
for you, Paul.
Keep your head down. Focus on your task of keeping Bengals fans together and from not jumping off the ledge. It's on you now.
I'm happy to take that challenge. I'm happy to take it on.
All right. That sounds good, Bobby. We will talk to you soon.
Hooday.
I'll tell you, I'm worried that the fame is going to go to Bobby's head. He's getting recognized.
Yeah.
He's got the Optimistic Bobby Twitter handle now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm worried that he's going to get a huge head in his ego, and by the end of the year, like, he's going to be dictating when and where he goes. He's going to be demanding longer segments. I mean, look, there's just a lot of – I think the fame is taking a bit of spread, but this is going to be really he's going to unite a fan base here. He's going to kill all the pessimism and turn it into the most optimistic fan base in the NFL. Forget that whole Twitter poll.
That's what it's going to be. You know, maybe.
Maybe. His question, of course, was about Andy Dalton and bounce back games. Yeah. You wrote about this.
I did. Look, Andy, as Gio said earlier, you know, he's like, it's kind of bad to say, but Andy's been here before and had to deal with this. And it's true. 2.0.
Yes.
I
mean, that
back,
was the worst
like,
game of his
the
career.
The literal bounce back, you know, with like 140 rating or whatever the next week. And, I mean, he had – very rarely does Andy stack bad games. He doesn't always come back with a 120 rating game. But it's always better. I mean, you could say, wow, the floor's so low, but – but when he has a rating under 60, under 70, the team usually wins the next week. He plays much better the next week.
You had 22-5?
Yeah. So
in their next three games after a sub-60 rating?
Yes. So, obviously, 2-8 in games with 60 ratings. So, what do you do in your 10 games after that? 8-2. and the games immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
So now you stack it the next week. So the three games after these bad performances, he plays well, the team plays well, 22-5.
It's pretty remarkable.
It is.
I mean, that's the one thing you can say, and part of it is, well, you're also saying that the guy's bad often. But when he's bad, you know, I think response to adversity is a huge part of playing quarterback in this league, because every quarterback in this league, I don't care, Tom Brady has been roasted. Remember back, oh, Brady's washed up! And then that was the beginning of the Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
And, you know, on Cincinnati, of course. And, you know, you probably even hearing all that kind of stuff again after this last week where Brady played so bad against Kansas City and what have you. Anyway, response to that is a huge part of playing quarterback. Does this mean Andy Dalton's going to come back and he's suddenly going to be Aaron Rodgers? I mean, of course not.
No.
Is this line suddenly going to be good? No, of course not. But I do think that's an important characteristic to have, and a reason why a lot of people around this building are not super concerned with 14,
right,
despite how bad he played in the opener.
Yeah.
I think there's that is reason for optimism, is that I'm going to need to see more to think that there's some systemic issue with the quarterback.
Right.
Because we've seen this before.
Yeah.
And he's had seasons that have been what they've been.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would say that's – and the primetime thing, it's always going to be a thing.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a thing.
Always will be.
You know, sometimes they need to go – they do need to go win a damn game, though.
Yeah.
There and against Houston in particular. So we
Houston's
shall.
He's like the boogeyman. He's like the clown from It. Houston. It's like that clown, a red balloon, just floating red and blue balloons.
Ruining lives. Did you go see It? You would be the type to go see It.
Nah, I read the book, man.
Yeah, well, I just meant it's out, though.
It is
out. You just killed it in theaters this weekend.
Yeah.
I thought
you'd be. Scary clowns, dude.
No way am I going to see a movie about scary clowns. I cannot think of a worst-case scenario. First of all, scary movies are stupid. I spend the majority of my life trying to avoid being scared. Why would I pay to go do it? Second of all, clowns are stupid, too. I spend the majority of my life trying to avoid clowns. Why would I pay to go see them be scary?
Yeah.
Don't dress up in clown outfits around me. Sorry.
No.
I was mad about something. But I'll let you go because it's your turn to be mad. So I'll let you go. What are you mad about?
Yeah, I'll keep it quick. It's been because it was just, you know, I could go real easy with some Twitter people. Now, what makes me mad, Paul, is if you follow me on Snapchat, I try to bring people. We always try to bring people inside behind the scenes. So I do that on Snapchat on game days, kind of show people what we do during the week. And I showed this week. Tepid coffee.
Tepid. That's no way to have coffee.
You
would you rather have tepid coffee or iced coffee?
Oh, iced. Because at least I know what I'm expecting. It's not a nasty surprise in your mouth. Oh, there's nothing worse. And it's not just. It's just one of those things, Paul, where like I love coffee, and I love places that like have the pots out. You know, because you know you got to go to the restaurant or whatever, and they don't refill it in the pot on the table. You go get it. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with that because that's just like refills or whatever. But that's a nasty surprise. It's like you hit the pot and you're like, you know, and you put it all in there and you're like, oh, yeah. Yes.
And then
it's just like lukewarm on your molars.
No.
Not good.
I
don't like
heat.
It. It makes me mad. Yeah, you need that heat.
You need the heat.
It could be old. I'm okay.
Latino heat.
I'll drink bad old coffee. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it's got to be hot.
Got to be hot.
Tepid coffee in the pot makes me mad because you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah. You don't know.
You don't want nasty surprise in your mouth like that.
No.
Makes me mad.
You're mad. I'm happy. You know why I'm happy? I'm happy because I like talking about things that matter. And I have been sick of talking about things that don't matter. What? Really, whether it be on not necessarily this podcast, because everything matters
right.
This podcast. But like, it was always like, yeah, we'll just wait and see. I did my radio hit with the pregame show, Cutman, before Dan and Lapko. It's usually about 15 minutes before kickoff. And Cut says, "Man, you are vivacious." He's vivacious on me.
Vivacious.
You're vivacious. You are bouncing all over the place. And one, I had had too much very hot coffee. I think. However, I went an extra Starbucks. I should not have done that. That with an adrenaline rush, it was a lot. But it was because I get super excited about opening day because it is, we finally learn.
Yeah.
No more BS. Like, it forget optimism. That's enough. This is reality hits the road. You know what I mean? And I love talking about reality hitting the road. That's what we've been able to do all podcast today. That's what we'll be doing for a while now. And because you can't hide out there.
Yeah.
60 minutes, there's no covering up answers.
Right.
There's no BS. There's no hiding of injuries. There's no, there's no, we think this guy's good. He's probably going to be good.
Yeah.
There's none of that. You are what you are. And I even though Bengals fans don't like talking about how bad they were, I love that we're talking about something real again. It's fantastic. So I'm happy about that. And my daughter smiled like all day today.
There you go.
Which was also nice. Yeah. But no one wants to hear me talk about that all the time. So, but I will. If you want to see pictures, you can stop me. I'll show them
you.
You
know why she's smiling? Jeremy Hill at 4.3 yards per carry.
No doubt. She loves Jeremy Hill. There's no doubt about that. All right. We'll wrap up the BBP. Man, that was action-packed. Yeah.
There's a lot to get through.
I feel like I'm talking real fast on these things recently. Just because. Because I feel like I've got to get it all in.
Yeah. There was a lot. This was a not,
well, without
not
the
your
deuce,
usual
without
game.
The deuce this week,
yeah.
It does compound where we have way more stuff into the first pod.
Yeah.
Because with the game on Thursday, there's no reason for a deuce. So so we dropped that one and now we're on to the game Thursday night against Houston.
Yep.
8:30 NFL Network and Local 5 if you don't have NFL Network. So you can watch the game. Bengals and Texans, a whole lot more on the line than they thought there would be. Okay, so BTS on Tuesday evening, this Tuesday, John Ross is our guest. So
I'm going to come attack him for all his failures.
Constant failures. So we have John Ross and venomous attacks from Jim Ozarski. And then we'll have the BBP back again after this game.
Yes.
So we'll be trying to get back onto a normal schedule. Yeah. And, hey, come down to 50 West on Sunday because I think I'm going to go down there and watch some games with the fam. So I love – the one thing is when we do get the occasional Sunday off, I like to go – one of my favorite parts about watching the NFL always was – just sitting back on Sunday ticketing it and kicking it. So I think I might try to go do that down the production works. So come down and join me. Say hello. We can talk about Bengals, good, bad, elsewhere, otherwise. And maybe even me and Optimistic Bobby will be down there being optimistic and having some coast. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you next week.